Jesus said that the gates of hell would not prevail against his church. Yet the rise of Islam has prevailed mightily. How should Christians interpret the ever-increasing world domination by radical Islam? Are America's legal systems facing a forced imposition of Sharia law? The Cross in the Shadow of the Crescent. That's the title of Erwin Lutzer's new book on Islam. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer talks with us again about how to live in view of the rise of Islam and about a book he's written to help us do just that. Here once again is Dr. Lutzer.
This is Pastor Lutzer, and I'm so glad that you have joined us for this program on Running to Win, because we have a very special guest who's going to help us think through the whole issue of Islam, what's happening in Europe, what's happening in America, many of these subjects at least we're going to have the opportunity of touching on. If you've been with us in previous broadcasts, you know that as a result of a trip to Turkey, where Rebecca and I had the opportunity of visiting the seven cities that had the seven churches of Revelation, as a result of that, my heart was deeply troubled when I saw the triumph of Islam over Christianity, and especially when one of my guides told me privately that he viewed the triumphs of Islam over the church as proof of the superiority of Islam over Christianity. And by the way, in the next broadcast, we are going to begin by discussing that question directly. It'll be the first thing that we'll be talking about, namely, are things the way they appear to be, or are things not the way they appear to be? And we'll discuss that theological question of how Jesus looks in the midst of Islam's triumph. So you'll most assuredly want to be with us. If you know someone who is a Muslim, we encourage you to call them, let them know of this broadcast, have them tune in, because we're going to be exposing Islam, yes, but we're also going to be talking about a message of hope, a message of courage and conviction. And we're also going to be speaking about the church and how oftentimes it is the church's fault that it's not been able to withstand the coming of Islam. Now, last time I mentioned some of the lessons that God has enabled us to learn as a result of what has happened in the past. In fact, I think I'll just simply review them. In our first broadcast, the number one lesson was we cannot take the existence of the future for granted, that is to say, the future of the church. Thousands of churches in various Middle East countries have been turned into mosques. So the question is, could this happen in America? That's lesson number one. And then we went on in the next broadcast to lesson number two, faithfulness requires us to accept persecution. We talked about what it was like for Muslims, especially for Christians, I should say, to live in a Muslim country and what it is like today. Lesson number three was, even in when the church is in the devil's hands, we're reminded that it is still in the hands of God. Now, today's lesson is number four in the book that I have been privileged to write, The Crescent Cannot Destroy the Cross. Dr. Samuel Naaman, who teaches world missions at Moody Bible Institute, along with courses in Islam, is with me here today in the studio to discuss this and the whole business of the cross as it pertains to Islam. Now, Brother Samuel, thanks again for being here, by
the
way.
You're welcome.
It's so great that you can be here and to throw in some interest. Just to remind our listeners, your father was actually a convert from Islam.
Yeah, my father was a very strong Muslim. He grew up in a very conservative Muslim family, and his encounter with Christ was during the Second World War, actually, when he was fighting with the Royal Air Force. And several things happened in his life, and you know, that led him to find the truth, because ultimately he was just fed up with what was happening in that time, in that era, in the 1940s. And he wanted truth. He was seeking for truth, and the Lord met him in a mighty way.
And you know, in the book that I've written, which I may have already given you the title of, but it's entitled The Cross in the Shadow of the Crescent, An Informed Response of Islam's War Against Christianity, I actually have a brief summary of your father's testimony.
Yes, towards the end.
It's remarkable the way in which God saved him.
Yes.
I mean, just out of the blue, seeking God, how he heard this voice and how it led him to the scriptures. And isn't it wonderful to think now that his son has the privilege of teaching at Moody Bible Institute and influencing a lot
and
of students.
I also want to mention, Dr. Luther, in the last program, we talked about persecution and the church prevails and the Lord enables us. My younger brother was martyred 22 years ago in Pakistan.
Yeah.
And I think that was a changing point, a defining moment in my personal life to love my Muslim friends.
Wow. Isn't that a wonderful testimony of God's grace? You'd think that the opposite would be true, but just
that's
the very
what,
fact.
Exactly what a lot of people feel. But as you and I know that we hear or meet people testimony after testimony, it is the opposite that happens, that when they go through pain and persecution, they become more pure. And the Lord enables them to face the challenges
of
Islam.
And we are enabled to love even in the midst of persecution.
Yes.
And that's certainly the message that we want to convey. We're not here simply to try to compare the worst of Islam with the best of Christianity, as is often done. As a matter of fact, just even this morning, we're going to talk about some of the failures of the church, both in relationship to Islam and the compromises of the church. So we'd better plunge in. Now, at the beginning of this chapter, The Crescent Cannot Destroy the Cross, I tell a story, and I'm just going to go ahead and tell it, brother.
Please do that. Yes.
When I was there at the Church of Holy Wisdom in Istanbul, my guide took me around, and I think I mentioned this in a previous broadcast, and he showed me how the crosses have been defaced and destroyed because, he says, no Muslim can ever pray in the presence of a cross. Now, all throughout history, Islam has been destroying crosses. In fact, I'm going to take out a moment and just quote something that's in my book about a Muslim writer writing to the leader in Antioch who happened to be gone when the Muslims came. This was back in 1268. And he said this. The Muslim is writing, he said, if you had been here, you'd have seen crosses in your churches smashed, pages of the false New Testament scattered, the patriarchs' tombs overturned. You would have seen your Muslim enemy trampling on the place where you celebrate the Mass, cutting the throats of monks and priests and deacons upon the altars and so forth. And then it goes on and even becomes more gruesome. But my point in reading it is that right from the beginning, Muslims have always tried to destroy the cross. The cross has always been a very offensive symbol. And one of the reasons is because the Quran teaches that Jesus didn't die.
Die on the cross.
He didn't die on the cross.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, the Quran teaches that he didn't die at all. I'm going to read the Quran at this point, by the way, in Surah 4. This is so critical because sometimes, and I don't know if we'll be able to get into this, time goes so quickly, but there are Christians who think, well, can't we combine Christianity and Islam? And it's called Chrislam, you know, and that's quite a disastrous policy. But let me tell you, one reason is because the very heart of the Christian faith is denied in Islam. This is what the Quran says about Jesus. They claim we killed the Messiah Jesus, son of Mary, the apostle of God, but they killed him not, nor did they crucify him. They were under the illusion that they had. Those who differ on this matter are full of doubts and so forth. So right from the beginning, the Quran says that Jesus didn't die on the cross. They crucified someone else whom they thought was Jesus. But let's keep in mind that the Quran was written about 500 years after the New Testament, and the New Testament is filled with eyewitness accounts regarding the death and the crucifixion of Jesus. And the very fact that Peter was actually opposed to Jesus dying is actually a plus, because it really shows you that the apostles were having a hard time believing that a Messiah would actually be crucified, because it certainly seemed as if the Messiah was very weak. And so Peter struggled with it. But why did Peter believe it later? Because of the overwhelming testimony, the eyewitness testimony of the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross. And that is, of course, denied in Islam. And we'll discuss this in just a moment, Brother Samuel, but Muslims say, we honor Christ more than you do, because we say that he was so wonderful.
One of the greatest prophet. Of course, yes. they honor Christ as a prophet, but they cannot accept the fact that he was their savior. And you know, Dr. Luther, that's the foundation of our biblical Christianity and faith. If there is no cross, there's no resurrection. If there's no resurrection, then we don't have hope. So, I mean, we can go on and on in that direction. But the cross is very, very crucial and the foundation for our Christian faith. And the person or people or anyone who denies it, basically they're denying Christ in many different aspects.
They are, and we'll even explain why in just a few moments as we expand on that point. Now, another reason why Muslims despise the cross is because of the Crusades. Yes. And we're not going to say much about that except to say this, that when the Muslims came in the 7th century, they came to the Holy Land, and they captured the Holy Land. Their capture, of course, was unprovoked. Christians began to be persecuted. So then Pope Urban II, he launched the First Crusade. Now, that crusade was very wrong-headed for a number of different reasons. First of all, because they fought under the banner of the cross. Luther, by the way, really spoke strongly against that. He believed that you should never fight under the banner of the cross. If you want to fight in the state, that's fine, but don't fight under the banner of the cross. Separate topic there. But then the other thing is because some of the Christians did some terrible atrocities. And we're not here to defend the Christians. This is a dark chapter in Christian history. Except to simply say this, certainly more people have died under the banner of the Crescent and have been put to death under the banner of the Crescent than under the cross, but it's not a numbers game. We're not here to in any way justify some of the atrocities that Christians did. But the point is, because of this, and because Muslims are offended by the cross, what you find is the West taking the posture of submission. And in my book, I detail certain instances in which crosses have been removed. For example, in England, you know, in the prison, you can't wear a tie pin with a cross. And we could go on and on. And here in the great city of Chicago, one of our hospitals that I'll not name has taken down all the crucifixes because Muslims are offended. So the West has taken on a posture of submission to Islam with regard to that.
But I will also like to say, Doctor, are they really offended or are we doing it preemptively? I mean, I work among many Muslims and all those things. They know that's a sign of Christianity. They believe that the crucifix is the sign of Christianity. And is there a part or on our, you know, consciousness that, well, we don't want to offend, even though they don't say anything, but we will do it.
Exactly.
Prior to even them being offensive. Because, you know, I grew up in Pakistan and a cross was not an issue, believe me.
Really?
Yes. Mm-hmm. They knew that we are Christians and the cross is our symbol.
Yeah.
And they disagreed with that aspect, but they hardly oppose that aspect of cross.
Brother, we'll have to get into this in the next program, except to say this. We are paralyzed by political correctness.
Yes, yes.
And that paralysis makes us self-censure ourselves, even in areas where we are not required to censure ourselves.
Exactly, that's what I was saying, going to say.
We are willing to do that. Yeah. And this is a terrible tragedy in terms of this. And I point out that a Turkish lawyer watching a soccer game, I think that was in 2007, saw that there were red crosses on the uniforms, and he filed a lawsuit saying that this was, you know, being critical of Islam and showing Western superiority over Islam and so forth. So you have those instances, and what does the West do? Capitulate, capitulate, capitulate. And in case I don't get a chance to say it at another time, what happens is we become very silent. We self-censor ourselves, and we say that it is out of respect, but actually it's out of fear.
It's out of fear.
And we capitulate and submit to Islam in many, many different levels, as you point out, because many of the Muslims might not even mind a cross.
They don't.
But people take it down. Now, here's what I want us to discuss for just a few moments, and then we're going to get on with some of the compromises of the church. Let's talk about the cross and the crescent for a moment. Two different symbols. On the one hand, you have the crescent. Now, the cross, we mentioned a moment ago that Muslims say, we honor Christ more than you do because we believe he was so special, such a special prophet, God wouldn't let him die. But this represents two different salvations, doesn't it? On the one hand, you have Islam, where you have those who believe that you are saved basically by works and being a good person and hoping that you can balance the good and the bad in a profitable way. That's one method. And then the other method is this, and let's just think this through for a moment. The Bible teaches that the soul that sins will die. It teaches that sin needs to be paid for. God simply cannot allow bygones to be bygones. What he has to do is his holiness and justice needs to be appeased. And the wonder of Christianity is that he himself does it. You see, that's why the Trinity is so important in Christianity. God the Father demands the payment. God the Son pays the payment. And actually, the cross of Jesus Christ, far from being weakness, though it looked like weakness, happens to be God's finest moment when he is reaching down and redeeming us.
That's an expression of his amazing love.
Amazing love, amazing grace.
Yes.
And you know, that's difficult for anyone to accept.
From a human perspective,
and it's difficult for Muslims to accept.
Yes.
And everybody, really,
yes.
That salvation yes. could be a free gift to those who believe yes. on Jesus Christ. I know that people struggle a great deal with that, because then they say, well, it doesn't matter whether I live a good life or not. I can do whatever I like because I've believed on Jesus. Whereas you and I know, Brother Samuel, that God so changes us within that we desire God. There's an inner transformation that happens by means of the Holy Spirit when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. So the bottom line in this particular chapter, this particular lesson that the crescent cannot destroy the cross, is this. Muslims can destroy crosses because they frequently do that when they conquer Christian lands, but they cannot destroy the cross. You know, Paul says, God forbid that I should glory except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified.
And the love of Christ that we have in our heart, Dr. Lucy, yeah. that cannot be destroyed, and that cannot be conquered by anything.
Yeah, that's right. You know, we have to hurry on to another lesson. For those of you who are joining us in the middle of this discussion, or you weren't here in previous broadcasts, remember this. As we visited the seven churches of Revelation, that is to say the cities where the seven churches were, I asked God to give me wisdom regarding what these churches say to the American church. So we've been sharing some of those lessons. And my next one is compromise weakens the church. Now, I'm going to jump ahead here a little bit, Brother Samuel, and point out that I don't believe that it's always the church's fault when a church goes out of existence, because there are instances in Nigeria, for example, yeah. where people have been worshiping, Muslims have come in, they've destroyed the church, they've killed all the yeah. Christians. It's not the fault of that church that it isn't prospering. And what we need to do is to realize, but sometimes it is the fault of the church. And all that you need to do is to look through the seven letters that Jesus dictated to the churches in Revelation to see that of the seven, I think it's four whom he strongly rebukes because of their compromises, because of their worldliness.
Lukewarmness.
We're thinking, of course, of Laodicea there. Mm-hmm. For example, the church at Pergamum, it was condoning immorality. You have Thyatira. Boy, sometimes we think of Jesus as meek and mild, and he is, but you know, if I recall correctly, to the church in Thyatira, he says, I will come with the sword of my mouth, because you're putting up with immorality in the church. You have Sardis. Now, I want to explain to the people an experience that we had when we visited Sardis. In Sardis, there is a 4th century cathedral, a church, but it's basically in ruins. It has no roof, only the walls are there. But right next to it is a pagan temple. You could see the drawings and so forth. This was a pagan temple. So, Brother Samuel, as we were there, we pondered this, mm-hmm. and it's a very interesting phenomenon. Namely, we could interpret it in two different ways. One way to interpret it is this, a positive way, that the church decided that it wanted to be built right next to this pagan cathedral
temple.
Because they said, we want to be where it is the darkest and shine some light in this place.
Hmm.
That's one way. The other way to interpret it is the possibility that actually the church felt comfortable next to the pagan cathedral.
Coexistence. Yep.
And you know what Jesus said to Sardis, and of course this would have been centuries earlier when he wrote that letter to Sardis, because now we're talking 4th and 5th century. But what he said to them earlier is strengthen what remains.
Yeah.
And he's talking to them. He says, there are some among you who haven't soiled your garments.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a hint there that maybe the church felt comfortable to this pagan, next to this pagan temple with all of its immorality. So what we have is various compromises. And here in America, we compromise in so many different ways, don't we, brother?
Yes, we do.
We compromise in terms of the gospel that's preached. We have Chrislam that we mentioned earlier,
yes.
Those who attempt to blend Christianity with
Islam. Islamicize
the
gospel.
Islamicize the gospel. We have also consumerism. And isn't that exactly what the Church of Laodicea that you quoted a moment ago? You have all of that consumerism. Thou art rich and increased with goods, and do not know that you are wretched, poor, miserable, blind, and naked. And what people need to understand is the fact that as the church weakens, it begins to capitulate.
Yeah.
And in a future broadcast, we're going to be talking about what the church should be doing. That's an important thing. You know, do you know, brother, his name's not coming to me. Well, right now it does. Solomon?
Yes.
You know
Sam
him?
Sam Solomon.
He's the man from England.
Yes.
He spoke here at Moody Bible Institute a number of years ago.
Yes.
I had coffee with him, and I said, well, what should we be doing in the church these days with all that is going on? Because he gave a lecture on Sharia law and what it would look like in America, and I have to say it was chilling.
It was scary.
It was scary. Were you there at that time? Or
Yes.
All right. And we thought about a number of things, and then I said, well, I guess we're going to have to prepare our people to die for the faith. And he took his finger and he poked it right into my chest and he said, yes, that's exactly what God is calling you, is to help your church to be willing to die for the faith. Now, many of us look at that and we think that's impossible in the United States of America, and it probably won't happen during the time when some of us are alive because we're older and we'll have moved on. But that certainly is a possibility. In fact, we're going to be talking about that in future broadcasts, the responsibility of the church and what should be going on, and how do we, Brother Samuel, create those courageous Christians who are willing to stand? And we have our own challenges in America right now, don't we?
Yes, we do.
And
yes,
you see compromises in
many,
the church.
In many places.
Yeah. And I'm sure that as we could talk about it, we know that the days are going to come when living for Jesus Christ and all of its implications are going to be so much more challenging. And so lesson number 5 is compromise weakens the church. It's not always the fault of the church if the church goes into demise, because it may be because of other forces. But oftentimes we as Christians are so weak and so fearful. Let's remind ourselves of the words of Jesus, you remember, who said, do not fear those who can kill the body, and after that, you know, they run out of ideas. Obviously, I'm giving a paraphrase here. But fear him, rather, who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. And if we fear God, we need fear nothing else.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer, and thanks also to Dr. Samuel Naaman from the faculty of Moody Bible Institute. It's crucial for believers to understand what the rise of Islam means. A copy of Erwin Lutzer's new book, The Cross in the Shadow of the Crescent, is waiting for you. We'd like to send it as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support the outreach of Running to Win. Call right now at 1-888-218-9337. That's 1-888-218-9337. Or write to us at Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Mention The Cross in the Shadow of the Crescent when you write or call. Reach us online at rtwoffer.com. That's rtwoffer, all one word, .com. Running to Win's purpose is to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. On tomorrow's broadcast, we'll get a look down the pages of history as to how the world of Islam achieved its current state of influence around the world. Don't miss another chapter in the story of the cross in the shadow of the crescent. For Dr. Erwin Lutzer, this is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is sponsored by the Moody Church.